Are you glad to be in the house of God? Yeah. Amen. We're talking about spiritual maturity. And for those who are guests, just to bring you up to the page where we're at, spiritual growth or spiritual maturity is something that we hear about a lot in the church world, but sometimes we forget why or how. And we get into the go down paths that we really don't understand why we're doing it. And I try to answer questions even from the pulpit as if somebody who never been in the church shows up as an adult, gets saved, and begins to ask sincere, honest questions. Because when we get saved, we're going to go to heaven. When we get saved, we're going to escape hell. And they might ask, why should I grow spiritually? What does that mean? How do I do it? And what's the benefit? And so we've talked already in the first two services, first one specifically at this point. What's the benefit? What does it mean to be spiritual baby or spiritually mature? What does it mean to be carnal? What do those words mean that we use in the church world, what I call the Christianese language, so often that we can forget the meaning to it? Because a lot of times if you grow up in church, you'll hear people use those words and say, let's do it. Okay, but why? Why should I put energy into it? Because we found out that spiritual maturity is not automatic. Say with me, it's not automatic. Some people think they're mature Christians because they've been saved for a long time. You can be saved for 80 years. Doesn't make you a mature Christian. It's not automatic or by accident. Coming to church does not make you mature no more than sleeping in your garage makes you a car. It's not by accident. It's not automatic. It takes effort. It takes energy. And you will never consistently put energy to anything unless you know why you're doing it and what this is about. Because someone can say, you need to grow spiritually. Okay. What does that mean? What does that mean? And so we begin to talk about how to grow. And instead of giving you specific details of what a mature Christian looks like, we're talking more on the process, which I believe is so important. And here's where I believe that this to me is such a key element for all of us at every phase. Because we could put up on the screen what we can call the poster child, Mr. or Mrs. Spiritually Mature, the perfect Christian. And we're not really doing that. Some of you are looking at the screen, so we don't have it. And in the church, inadvertently, we have given all these characteristics about the perfect Christian. Adjectives, adverbs, things that describe the perfect Christian that we should all strive for, and that from the surface looks good. But there's been a hole in the system that if we don't address, we find ourselves struggling with this whole idea about spiritual maturity. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the first part says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Let's leave that verse up for a few minutes if we can. I want to draw your attention. Now, the original text, it's talking about the world system. But I want to take that principle and bring it into the church world. Stick with me. Be not conformed to the church world, but be transformed. And what has happened inadvertently over the years of church history is that we have created a culture that it was so important to reach Mr. or Mrs. Perfect Mature Christian that we forgot to explain the process to the goal, the path to the destination. And we're so excited about the destination of Mr. or Mrs. Perfect Mature Christian that good, God-loving, sincere believers get the mindset, well, that's the goal. And they begin to conform. Look at this word. Conform to mature ideas. Begin to conform to the concepts and ideas and characteristics of a spiritually mature Christian. You say, well, what's the problem with that? Because God told Samuel in 1 Samuel that you look to the outside, but I look to the heart. Let me tell you what's wrong with that. We find ourselves stuck in positions where all of a sudden we have the appearance of being mature, but not the substance of spiritual maturity. people look at it and say they got it together. They're spiritually mature because they have conformed to the idea. And when they have the appearance, the natural tendency is to strive to climb the ladder of the church world, to climb the rank, to get a title or a position or a ranking that people can recognize you for. And all of a sudden you think you got it made because you got the title. But the problem is that if you got the appearance of it without the real substance of it, it really creates a lot of problems. Why? Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Got to make sure I get that right. Told Timothy, don't put anybody in position of authority that is spiritually immature. Why? New Living Translation says, because if you do, they can fall into the trap that the devil fell into of being full of pride. Have you ever met somebody, this is rhetorical, so don't raise your hand and don't point to the person next to you. Have you ever met somebody in the church world that had a prominent position but were full of pride? Because we have made titles so important and positions so important that people get there quickly because we look on the outside and say, hey, why don't you do this? You look spiritually mature. And they have the appearance because they've conformed to it. Let's leave that verse up. They've conformed to the idea, but they've never been transformed to the idea. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Your spiritual maturity is not you conforming to maturity, but you being transformed to maturity. Maturity is not based on you conforming to it, but you being transformed to it. See, what happens when we're conforming to it and not transforming to it? What happens is we, again, have the appearance without the substance. We have the appearance without the grace of God. And we find ourselves in positions of authority that we're either fall into pride, or we can fall under the pressure of the responsibility, because with the position, God will give you the grace if you have the maturity. And if you don't have the grace for that role or position, it might look glamorous, but behind the scenes, there's pressure. And if you're trying to handle that kind of pressure on your own, you'll crumble. It's like the guy who saw Paul cast out demons. So yeah, I figured this out. I'm going to conform to a method. And he grabbed somebody who was demon possessed and say, I adjure you, demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, come out. And the demon shows up and speaks out of the guy and says, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? And the Bible says, beat the guy up. That'll learn him. What was happening? He was conforming to an idea, but he was not transformed to that level. And so when he got in the fight, when he got in the pressure zone, when he got in the responsibility, hey, I know good people, men and women of God, who got themselves in a position that they weren't ready for, and they live under the weight of the pressure. I've seen good men and women of God who love God, who got themselves in a position that they thought they were ready for, but they weren't transformed to, and they got themselves under a spiritual warfare, and the enemy beat the snot out of them. It's not that we should be afraid to grow. God wants you to grow. God wants you to elevate. God wants you to rise. God wants you to shine. But when you do it God's way and not your way, you will have the grace of God to stand strong, resist the enemy, draw near to God, have authority to bring things in alignment.
Let's go.
Yeah. I'm trying. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. See, it looks like, hey, apostle of Christ, that's a good thing to try, strive for. Woo, that's not, they're not saying devil worshipers. They're not saying witch. They're saying apostles of Christ. That's a good thing. Say, that's a good thing. But sometimes we can, out of our sincerity but immaturity, be so ambitious that we can strive for things that maybe in our future God wants you to do, but we want them now, and we will try to cut corners and do it in a way that we're thinking, well, it's all good because I'm trying to be an apostle of Christ. I'm trying to be a full-time minister. I'm trying to be a pastor. I'm trying to be an evangelist. I'm trying to do these great works. I'm trying to get this great title. It all looks good. But listen, if you have to do, if the ends don't justify the means. If you have to do something that's unethical to achieve an ethical place, something's wrong. You're trying to force yourself into that place and position too early. See what they're doing? They're trying to transform themselves. Trying to transform themselves. That's conformity. You can't, are you listening to me? This is, I am so hyped. This is my third time doing this today. And I am still so on fire to this concept because your transformation is not based on you. It's based on God. You cannot transform yourself to a mature Christian. Now, there's something you can do. We're going to get into that in a few seconds because James is very specific that faith without works is dead. There's something you can do. But what we have to realize in the church world, we have been, and nobody meant to hurt anybody, but sometimes we just didn't know. And we start drawing the attention of that's the goal. And everybody begins to conform to the idea instead of being transformed by God. And we find ourselves with all the problems and headaches. Because like I mentioned last week, this might frustrate you, but listen. Just because someone is in full-time ministry doesn't mean they're spiritually mature. Amen. Man, today's technology, all you need is a computer and some business cards, and you just called yourself. You don't need Jesus to call you. You just called yourself. Oh, I'm in full-time ministry. I know people in full-time ministry is really because they didn't want to work. It wasn't because they were called. They're just looking for somebody to pay them to do nothing. See, the reality of ministry is that it's not a sit around and do nothing. You got one meeting a week. No, no, no. We work hard around here. Mm-hmm. Some of you looking around that know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we do. But there's a grace to do it. There's a grace to do it. If you try to do it on your own, it'll burn you out. So let me say, just because someone's in full-time ministry does not mean they're spiritually mature. That you would hope they would be. You think they, and they should be. But just because they have a title doesn't mean they're mature. Because you have to understand that even in Ephesians, the Bible talks about Jesus who gave gifts unto men, and it refers to the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And a full-time minister is not something you choose. It's really something that you discover the call of God on your life for. Amen. So we understand it's a gift that God gives to people before they're ever born. Yes. And if we're not careful, we'll strive in developing the gifts and success and not develop maturity. And our gifts will take us where our character can't keep us. And we have huge success or following, and it crumbles and falls. Why? Because they didn't develop and grow spiritually. Let me throw another one at you, because we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. Amen. But let me throw another one at you. You can operate in the gifts of the Spirit and not be a mature Christian. Amen. See, if we're not careful, if someone can operate in the gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, miracles, healing, discerning of spirits. Yeah, we can go through all nine. If someone operates, we're thinking, oh my goodness, they're so mature, but not so. I'm just being honest with you. Because I refuse to speak in the lives of people and develop gullible Christians. And there is some people out there that are gifted, gift from God. But they're not mature enough to handle it yet. And their motivation's wrong. Because it's a natural tendency for us just to love everybody and say, oh, put them on a pedestal. And we begin to worship the vessels that God uses. And so you see people in the church world who, are you listening to me? Man, I feel this more in this service than I did the first two. Are you listening to me? There is, we'll get where we'll idolize people. And you know what happens when we start doing it? If God forbid they fall, they not only fall, but have you ever noticed that it's a trickling effect, a rippling effect, that it brings down a lot of people in their faith, and all of a sudden people that were strong or thought they were strong stop believing, stop going to church because, oh, they fell and messed up. Are you listening to me, church? And there is coming a day where some well-known prominent ministers, not all of them, and this is not a good thing, but you have to be prepared. And there is coming where some well-known prominent ministers that you might see on a national or international platform in television are going to fall. And I don't want you to fall because of them. Paul says it this way, follow me as I follow Christ. See, you should have your faith, keep it looking under Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus so that if, God forbid, everybody following crazy, you can stand there and say, Jesus, I'm so sorry they all following crazy, but I'm not letting that rock my faith in you because I'm built my house on the rock of the word and not the personality or the people in the church. I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want your faith so strong, built on the rock, that if everybody crumbles, you can say, I've been praying for them. I'm going to reach out and help them. But I'm not going to let it rock my faith. My faith is not built on people. My faith is built on you, Jesus. My faith is built on the word. Oh, let me just not say it because I challenge you to challenge me. Just because I say stuff, don't take it for granted. You got to challenge it with the word of God. Okay. So the whole thing about the gifts of the Spirit, because in the church world, if some people develop the gifts, all of a sudden they become like super spiritual that everybody just kind of assumes. Man, I started operating the gifts of the Spirit as a teenager. Still do. I think every Christian should. But I'll tell you what, as a teenager, I was not spiritually mature at that level. So let me give you, not experience, let me give you scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul refers and talks to the Corinthian church and says, that, and basically brags on them, that you haven't fallen behind in any gift. You haven't fallen behind in any gift, which means they're operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Because it's in 1 Corinthians 12 later that he's going to detail more about the gifts. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he corrects them for being not mature, but spiritual babies. And still needing milk of the word and not meat, and they should have at that point be teachers and not babies. See, and what we got to realize is someone operating the gifts of Spirit, it's not to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, the qualification is not for you to be mature. The qualification is for you to be saved and have the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us to desire the gifts of the Spirit. And so when someone is saved and has the Holy Spirit, even as a baby Christian, and they begin to build their faith on the Word of God when it comes in regards to the gifts of the Spirit, and begin to trust God and step out and grow in these things, they can develop the gifts. But that doesn't mean they're a mature Christian. It doesn't mean they're a bad person, but it doesn't mean that they're mature. What I'm trying to do is open our eyes, not so we're suspicious to everybody, but that there's a balance here. Because if somebody who's operating the gifts or has the titles or great followings says something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, and on the inside, you're like, something's not jiving here. Something's not right. But they said it, and they're operating the gifts, so they must be right. Well, wait. Let's go back and challenge it with the Word. Because they might be wrong. I'm just being real with you. In fact, I'm a firm believer when it comes to truths and it comes to ministries. It's not the legal system of everyone's innocent until proven guilty. It's everyone's guilty until proven innocent. I've had people come to church and say, I'm prophet so-and-so, and God woke me up and gave me a word for your church and wants me to take your platform and preach it. And I look at them and say, listen, I don't know you from Adam, and the Holy Spirit didn't tell me you're coming, so you'll not get near my platform, but I am so glad you came. Make yourself at home. See, we got to be mature about stuff. That's not being offensive. That's being real. If I don't know you and the Holy Spirit didn't tell me, don't you think if the Holy Spirit told you to come with a message, that the Holy Spirit will also wake me up and tell me you're coming? Right? Same Holy Ghost, right? See, I found out a long time ago that the Holy Spirit is not bipolar or schizophrenic. If he told you, he can tell me. And then we'll both know, and I'll be like, oh, I've been looking for you, because the Holy Spirit told me that he was going to send somebody with a message. God bless you. It's good to see you. Let's get started. I'll tell you, some weird stuff has happened in the church world. Men of God, women of God that love God and sometimes kind of get off on their own mission. I've seen them tell pastors, the Holy Spirit's telling me you need to step down and let me be the pastor. And some of them do it. They don't know. People get up and say, I got a word from the Lord. You're supposed to sell your house and give me the money. And some people do it. Now, is it wrong? If the Holy Spirit didn't tell you before they told them, yeah, they missed it. I don't know why I'm going down this trail, but let me just throw this at you. See, anything that's the operation of the gifts of the Spirit of God, well, one, will always be in alignment with the Word of God. And when it comes to personal prophecies, are you listening to me, church? Somebody needs to hear this. I think we all can benefit from it. It always has to be in line with the Word of God. And when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecies, it will always be a confirmation of what the Lord has already been dealing with you. So if someone says, I got a word from the Lord for you, you need to sell your house and you need to go to Russia and plan a work. Well, how do you know if it's of God? Well, if you've been in your own prayer time, God's been dealing with you. Sell your house and move to Russia. That's a confirmation to what God's already done. See, when someone says to you, sell your house and give me the money or move to this and do that, if the Lord hasn't been dealing with you, they missed it. Say they missed it. Now, I'm helping somebody today. Okay, so that was a rabbit trail, but I think it's a benefit. So it's not about transforming yourself. It's not transforming yourself. You can't transform yourself. If you could do it, then everybody in the world could do it. How do you take somebody who hates everybody, just an example, and say you need to love with genuine sincerity of your heart? Huh? How do you take somebody who has been stingy and taught that their whole life and tell them, you need to be generous and give? Huh? How do you take someone who don't like people they don't know and say, you know what? You need to be generous and love people you don't even know. And if you see someone in need, even though you don't know them, inconvenience your schedule and yourself and even take money out of your pocket and help them out. Huh? Don't compute. And we can try to become these things, or we can learn that Philippians tells us it is God who is working in you, giving you the desire and the ability. He is the one transforming you. Mm. So be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Last week we emphasized spending time in God's presence. I don't care who you are. You can experience God's presence. I don't care how long you've been saved. You can experience God's presence. The moment you get saved, you're the temple, the Holy Ghost. You can experience. So when you're praying, reading the Word, going to church, worshiping God, the rhythm is that it's supposed to take you somewhere, the presence of God. Because it's in God's presence. You're experiencing Him, getting to know Him. The second thing that we're talking about in rhythm is experiencing God's truth. Now, you might not get a revelation every time you read the Bible, but you'll not get a revelation if you don't read the Bible. It's the renewing of your mind. Notice that verse, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you spend time in God's Word, and you're coming with the idea of, I'm just not trying to do a good thing, I'm just not trying to get through a routine, but God, I've come, and I'm coming to spend time with you, I'm coming to meet you, I'm coming to experience your presence, and I'm reading your Word, looking for you. And we encouraged you last week, if you don't know where to start, the natural tendency is to start in Genesis, the beginning, where you start with every book, but that's not the right way to read the Bible. If you're a new believer, I encourage you, start with the Gospel of John. That's one of the Gospels of the ministry of Jesus on the earth that was written to the world. After that, go to James. That's the wisdom book of the New Testament, like Proverbs is for the Old Testament. After you're done with that, go through the epistles, letters that Paul wrote to the church, talking about how, as a church, who we are, what we're supposed to be doing. The epistles are Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Start that. Look for God to speak to your heart. And when you come to scripture that jumps out at you, and this might be elementary for some of us, but I want to speak to all of us in different times and different ways. I want you to understand when that something jumps off that page and comes alive in your heart, stick with it, read it, walk it out, obey it, follow it, meditate on it, remember it, whatever you want to do throughout the day, let it be a part of your day. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Says, and all of us, as we, as with unveiled, this is an amplified translation, and all of us, say all of us, we'll catch it, this is for everybody, as all of us, as with the unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This comes from the Lord. See, we're not going to be like the apostles that were trying to be, transform themselves to become apostles of Christ and become workers of iniquity or becoming evil. No, we're going to follow this process. Now, notice this verse, and this is amazing. Man, we could spend a whole series on this. But let me go from reverse to and work through that real quickly. Number one, notice, who's doing the work? From the Lord, who is the Spirit. Who's doing the work? The Lord, the Holy Spirit. You say, what about Jesus? Three in one, one in three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Father will not send another paraclete, another comforter. So there is no competition between the Trinity. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's doing the work. See, you can't. If you hate to try to talk yourself into loving and truly loving, it's not going to work. If you're prejudiced, trying to talk yourself and not being prejudiced, not going to work. If you're tight, talking about being generous, not going to work. You can talk about faith, hope, and love all you want. You can talk about the fruits of the Spirit, but you know what? To live it in the genuineness and the reality that God wants you, it's not what you can transform yourself to. It's like salvation. Someone can come up and say, what does a Christian look like? Oh, well, you got to do all these things. Oh, I can do that. And from the outside, look like a Christian. But does that make him a Christian? No, because salvation is a miracle when we understand conviction of who we are, who he is, and we pray. And by grace through faith, believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, God transforms us into him. We go from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. We come into the family of God. It is a new birth. Behold, all things are new. It's not what you're doing. It's what he's doing. See what I'm trying to get to you. Not only is the entrance to the family of God salvation a miracle, spiritual maturity is a miracle process. And we have stripped that somehow out of the church world, and we just show up the pictures, the posters of Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual Perfect, and we all salivate and say, ooh, if I could only just try a little harder to become like that, that'll be so awesome. And we've all been there in our prayers. We said, God, I sinned. It was wrong, and I'm so sorry, and I promise never to do it again. I'll try harder. And you try harder to only find out that you can't do this work and this life on your own. You need him working in you. I'm telling you, this is powerful. From the Lord who is the Spirit. So it's God doing it. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Notice, from one degree of glory to another. You know what that tells us? It's not overnight. We want it overnight. God has a way of showing us the end from the beginning. You can get saved, and God said, I'm going to use you mightily on the mission field. And sometimes we think that means buy a ticket. No, God will show you the end. We'll back it up and say, now let's walk this out. Because he's got to get us from glory to glory, from one degree to the next. We want to be at the end now. We want that powerful position now. We want to be the head and not the tail now. We want it all now. But the truth is, if we had it all now, and if you weren't transformed to it, it would be a weight, a burden, a pressure, and crush you. But there is a place in God and destiny where you can operate. And people are like, how in the world do you do that? Well, it's easy because you've operating with grace. You're operating with God's ability. You couldn't manage five people before. Now you're managing 500. How do you do that? You couldn't handle $100. Now you're handling millions. How do you do that? Before, one person gave you a compliment, your head was so big it took 3 weeks for you to deflate. You ever see that? I mean, and it happens in church for a lot. Let some good, sincere, but not mature man of God get 20 people in this church, and all of a sudden he walks around with 15 bodyguards and everybody kissing his ring, and he thinks he is God. Where is that? Can't we just get real? Jesus said the leader of you is supposed to be the servant. You know, and I'm going so long, and I appreciate it, but let me just be real. There is a spirit of celebrityism that has hit the church, and it is not of God. And it develops infancy in people because all we want to do is just look at how the rich and the famous live. Hoping one day, we just worship them, hoping one day we can get there and then try to spit on everybody because it's not of God. Are you with me? I want you to be strong in this thing. I want you growing because no matter what the devil throws at you or what opportunities God gives you, I don't want you to falter. I don't want you to fail. I want you to succeed. Okay, notice, we're closing. From the Lord of the Spirit, it comes from the Lord, from one degree to the next. It's not overnight. It's a process. This is good. I'd rather have a person who's sincere and loves God and has a clear conscience between them and the Lord and still has some issues than someone with their conscience all messed up and acting and faking it. Let's get real. We have judged so many people based on outward appearance and not from what God measures. Notice this. We are from one degree to the next. I'm hearing, baby. We are constantly being transfigured into this very own image. It's the character and nature of God. We're growing to become like Jesus in character and nature. And it's constant. So no matter how long you've been saved, there's room for you to grow. I've been saved 80 years. Praise God, there's still room for you to grow. This is a process. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and life. The way. It's not a destination. If you got there and finished the classes and now you're educated and graduated and no one's worried about it. No, it's a process. We're always in it. Notice. As all of us with an unveiled face, that means that we're open. We're not putting up blinders and saying, God, this is what I want to talk about. I'm not going to be real. Here's what you got to deal with. All right, Lord, I need a blessing. Yeah, but I want to talk about that gossiping. No, we don't. We're not going to that room today, Lord. We're going to room 425. That means I need a blessing. But let's talk about you being generous with others. No, we're not talking about, no. David said, I'm an open book. Search me. See, we're going to get real with Jesus. If you want to grow spiritually, he knows it all anyway. Yeah, but if he knows it all, won't he just start really condemning? God's not there to condemn you. He's there to lift you up, not push you down. As we continue to behold in the Word of God. See, it's the Word. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. See, what happens is when we get into the Word and we're in the presence of God reading the Word, we begin to discover not who we're going to be, but who we really are. Let that sink in. Because we're discovering who we are. And when we discover who we are, like Paul says, we can not only lay the sins, but the weights that so easily beset us so we can run. Why? Because I'm discovering I'm not that person that they tagged me. I'm not that person that they titled me. I'm not that person with that brand. I'm not that person. I am a new creation in Christ. Behold, all things are passed away. And behold, all things are... I'm learning who I am. I'm learning who he's created me to be. I'm learning that I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. The devil's trying to put sickness on me. See, we've been thinking the devil's trying to... let me say it this way, because let me clarify what I just said. We've always thought the devil tries to put sickness on us. No, a thief doesn't give you something you don't want. A thief takes what you have. John 10:10 said, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Somebody's not going to come up with a gun and say, I'm going to give you some trash, and you better take it home, and you better put it in your house. Right? No, he takes what you have. See, you're the healed, and he's trying to take your healing. He's not trying to give you sickness. You're blessed. He's not trying to give you poverty. He's trying to take your blessing. See, as I read the Word, how can I stand strong? I begin to learn who I am. One degree at a time, I'm discovering. And that's why James says, don't just be a hearer only, but a doer. Because remember this illustration? Read it yourself in your own time. Because he that's just a hearer only is a person looking into the perfect law, the mirror of the Word of God, and sees himself and goes his way and forgets what manner of man he is. Not going to be who he is. Not going to be who he is. See, when you read the word and you discover who you are and stop doing it your way, you start doing it God's way, you obey the word, you are not only discovering who you are, but he, degree at a time, makes that so evident that people around you can begin to see it. Because you're learning who you are in Christ Jesus. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Hey, my God. You are more than a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail. Above always and not beneath. You are the healed of the Lord. Woo, child of God. Son and daughters of the Most High God. Temples of the Holy Ghost. See, those things are not where you're going. That's who you are. Most people don't live at that level because they didn't know they were there. And when you begin to discover who you are, can you imagine going to work and they had made you president and you didn't know it? You've been walking around thinking you were the janitor. And you're pushing that broom as best you can. Finally, someone comes and say, didn't you know they had a board meeting last night? You're not the janitor. You're the president. You would say, well, I'm not going to be pushing this. I'm not going to be living that life anymore. I got some authority. I have some power. See, you're going to discover who you are in life. And the devil's been telling you that you're not. You say, well, why am I living below what God's called me to be? We're closing. We got to close. To shake off the stuff that the devil tries to put on me, and I'm gonna be who he's called me to be in Jesus' name. Woo, my God! Woo, Jesus! That's not arrogance. See, arrogance and pride is immaturity. Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm praying that in the days ahead, as you just walk this process out, in the Word of God, in the presence of God, you begin to discover who you are, whose you are, and all the stuff that the people have spoken against you to confine you, to hold you back, to keep you out, to push you down, will become insignificant as you shake it off. Shake it off. Woo! All this time we live sub-level to what Jesus called us to be. I'm trying to close. You ever hear that story? I've told it before many years ago about the farmer had a mule, fell in a big ditch, and he thought, I'll never get that mule out of that ditch. And I love that mule, but I can't save him, so I don't want him to suffer, so I'll just bury him so he dies quickly. And he begins to throw dirt on that mule to bury him. But as that dirt comes down, it lands on the back of that mule. And that mule doesn't allow himself to get buried. That mule shakes the dirt off, puts it under his feet, comes up a little higher. That farmer puts in some more dirt to bury him. He shakes off that dirt, puts it under his feet. He comes up a little higher. He throws in more dirt. He shakes off that dirt. He puts it under his feet. He comes up a little higher. The devil trying to mess with you. You shake off that stuff. You put it under your feet, and you're growing higher. He tries to throw that at you. You shake it off. You put it under your feet because of the word of God, and you're growing 1 degree at a time from glory to glory by Christ Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing that can do what you can't do on your own. But he's changing you. He's transforming you. Hey! I want this to work so in your life that the next time you have a holiday and you go to spend time with family you haven't seen, that they say, my God, what has happened to you? You're not crying. You're not complaining. You're not criticizing. You're not yelling about people. You're smart. What happened to you? It's real deal, folks. Real deal. We got to let Jesus. Lord, whatever you want to do to change me. Because when God changes us, he's bringing us up. He's bringing us out. He's moving us forward. Whew. He's our partner. Holy Spirit's our senior partner. Lord, if there's some stuff that needs to be changed, change it. Show me in your word. Give me the revelation. For you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know will set you free. Whew. My God, I'm feeling the anointing on it. I got to close. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're going to close this up in prayer.